Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday we began speaking about the doctrine of baptism for the dead, a unique teaching found in The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And as we mentioned yesterday, we quoted various leaders that talk about the fact that because it's necessary to be baptized in order to be saved, according to Mormonism, the same would hold true for those that have passed away and are given the opportunity to embrace the Mormon gospel in the spirit world. Now, where do they get this? Well, let me explain to you that according to John Witzo, who was a Mormon apostle, he wrote a book called Rational Theology, first came out in 1915. And on page 151 of his book in the 1937 edition, he says this. He says, "There is no water baptism in the next estate, nor any conferring of the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of earthly hands. The equivalents of these ordinances prevail, no doubt, in every estate, but only as they are given on this earth can they be made to aid in their onward progress those who have dwelt on earth. For that reason, those who have departed this life without having accepted the earthly ordinances, which constitute in part the conditions of entrance to the church, must have that work done for them on earth. By proxy, they must be baptized by water, receive the laying on of hands, and accept temple ordinances." What he's telling us, folks, is that because there is no water where the dead eventually will go, it's necessary for humans, mortal humans, to be baptized in water on behalf of those that have died. This is why they perform baptism for the dead on behalf of the deceased.
Well, maybe, Bill, we should tell a little bit about what it's like at the temple, because we've gone through so many temple open houses to be able to see the room itself. It's the very lowest of the building.
Many times it's in the basement, yep. And if there is a basement, I think the Atlanta temple, I don't think it has a basement. I'm not sure.
But generally, they say it's the lowest room in that entire place,
right.
Of the building, the temple itself. And it's on the back of 12 oxen.
12 oxen, and it's supposed to represent the baptismal font. Looks very similar to what the molten sea would have looked like during Solomon's time.
Yep.
In Solomon's temple, there was an edifice that looks very similar to the baptismal font for the dead in Mormon temples. They had 12 oxen, as you have said. Three of them were pointing to the north, three of them to the east, three to the south, and three to the west. And the difference, of course, is that we have no evidence whatsoever that baptisms for the dead were performed in this kind of an edifice or this kind of a font. Now, in his book, Answers to Gospel Questions, Joseph Fielding Smith says in Volume 5, he makes this very, very peculiar statement. He says, "It is verily true that the Bible, as it has come down to us, has very little to say about baptism in the Old Testament." Well, that's because there wasn't any baptism in the Old Testament.
Right.
There were certainly cleansing rites for the priests, no doubt about that.
They had mikvahs. They had places where they could cleanse themselves, but that's the purpose. It wasn't
They were not baptisms as we understand right. in the New Testament concept. He goes on to say, "Yet there are passages in the writings of Moses and the old prophets which clearly indicate to the prayerful student that baptism was a principle which was practiced all through the days of old Israel." To which I would say, prove it. There isn't. Again, there were cleansing rituals, no doubt. But they were not baptisms as understood in the New Testament or even understood according to Mormonism today. This is what Smith said. He says, "When the Temple of Solomon was built, we read of a molten sea, 10 cubits from one brim to the other, and it stood on the backs of 12 carved oxen. this font or brazen sea was not used for baptisms for the dead. So he's admitting that it was not used for that. Because he says, for there were no baptisms for the dead until after the resurrection of the Lord. It is a logical venture to say that it was used for baptizing the living for the remission of their sins. No, it wasn't. Because by the time the New Testament rolls around, there is no molten sea.
Right.
It was destroyed when the Chaldeans captured Jerusalem. They destroyed the molten sea, and instead the Jews had used a laver, which was, again, another type of font, but it did not at all look like the molten sea that was in Solomon's temple. When he says it is a logical venture to say that it was used for baptizing the living for the remission of their sins, I would have to again say, no, that's not logical, because where would this laver, or where would this baptismal font that he's referring to, where would it have been located, Eric? It would have been located in the temple, the temple area. Now, think about this, folks. You've got a brand new group of religious upstarts known as Christians, okay, who come to be known as Christians. And we're going to believe that they actually marched themselves into the temple area and demanded of the Jews, who were still in control of the temple, saying, hey, can we borrow your laver, or can we borrow your font for a while? Because we have some new converts that just came out of Judaism. They need to be baptized.
Oh, come on. I mean, the book of Acts very clearly says that the synagogue leaders were very much in opposition to the way, and that this would have never been allowed. Nothing like that could have ever taken place.
It would have never been allowed. So it's not logical to assume what Mr. Smith is saying.
I also want to point out that this is the most often used ordinance in the entire temple. And the reason why, Bill, is because they don't just require those who, with temple recommends, to be able to use this. Children who have permission as well. And I'm going to say I have a junior high child, and one of the things that the kids like to brag about at school, at the public school she goes to, is when they went during that past weekend to do baptisms for the dead, and they think it's the greatest thing. I think the church uses this to whet the appetite of the younger kids to hope to someday go through that temple themselves to get married and to do the other ordinances. But this is something that I'm sure the average temple is being used every minute is probably filled with people getting their baptisms done.
It is no doubt a very important rite for Latter-day Saints, but it also comes with some very strange spiritual implications. We know of Mormons who have told us of being visited or feeling the presence of the dead in these Mormon temples, and we probably should spend a show talking about that very instance.
It's an interesting issue.
But we've actually heard stories of this, and Mormons have told us stories that to us sounds very foreign to our ears and something that would probably bother us immensely, because communication with the dead is not looked upon in a positive manner in the Bible. It's not looked upon in a positive manner, but Latter-day Saints see this, especially when it takes place in a temple, as being a positive experience. I remember talking to a young lady years ago. I was speaking at a church in New Jersey. She went to lunch with a bunch of us, and I was talking with her, and she told me how in the Mormon ward, she was kind of elevated above a lot of the other females in there because she was having visitations from her dead sister in the temple. And she was concerned about this because, as she's told me, she says, now my sister's following me home. And I'm just going, oh man, this is not a good thing. And she was struggling with this. It was starting to bother her that she was having these manifestations of her dead sister that were, well, for lack of a better word, haunting her. But her church looked upon that as a positive thing, how spiritually sensitive she was. And so therefore, they looked at her as being something a cut above the rest. And yet, she was confiding in me that this was starting to really bother her. She was very concerned about
this. Was she a Latter-day Saint at that time?
If I remember correctly, this was many years ago, she was still a member of record, but she was struggling with a lot of it. That's one of the reasons why she came to hear me speak. She wanted to know what I had to say on this subject. And we had a very good talk. I've lost contact with her. I have no idea where she is now, or where she is spiritually, or where she even is, but this was a story that she related to me, And we've heard of other stories about people seeing things or feeling things in the temple. And I might want to say, Christian, that's not something we look forward to. That's not something the Bible encourages. That is something Mormonism encourages, but it is not something that is supported by the Scripture. But what we're going to look at is, tomorrow's show, is we're going to talk about some of these examples, not only from the average layperson, because a Mormon could easily say, who's never experienced this themselves, and I'm sure there's some Mormons out there who will probably say, hey, I know this is true because I've experienced, and probably look at it as a positive thing. But there's a lot of people that might be saying, oh, Bill, you're just making this stuff up. This is just lay people telling you stories. But there are documented sources, Mormon sources from Mormon leaders, where they have talked about being visited by the dead and how the dead actually look forward to the Latter-day Saints doing something on their behalf. And that being the case, I mean, we should see right here, there's a huge chasm between the teachings of the Bible and the teachings of Mormonism. Hopefully you can see that because this is not supported by the Bible, that it is not something that you should participate in. It is not something that you should embrace. It is not something that you should look at in a positive manner. And certainly this aspect of Mormonism is something that we should stay away from.
A lot of people are going to point, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, Bill, but I think the verse that's going to be pointed to more than any other is 1 Corinthians 15:29, which says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? It sounds like a dead ringer that baptism for the dead was practiced in the New Testament, the Mormon will say.
We're going to be talking about that. Just because it's mentioned in the Bible does not necessarily mean that it was a practice or considered orthodox in the early Christian church. This is an assumption that Latter-day Saints have made, but history really doesn't support that. But we are going to be looking at this in the next coming days because this is an issue that is in the forefront. It's in the forefront. This is an issue that people are talking about. And so as Christians, you should be aware of what this doctrine, this teaching is all about.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow, or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.